Grace, mercy, and peace be with us this morning and ever henceforth. Amen. I was listening to just a little thing that caught my attention about this fella that he owned a logging company, went through some tough times. But the substance of this particular message, he went through and he began to rejoice in such a way that everything that had ever happened to him, both good and bad, was to God's glory. And I began to ask myself, or began thinking to myself, how often do I turn and praise God, even on the course of a day? How often do I turn and praise God for all that he's done for me, both good and bad? There are times when Satan will come, quite honestly, more often than not, and would tempt me to do things that I know I'm not supposed to. And there are times where a temptation can get to be pretty tough. It can be real intense at times. And I'm sure you've all been in that position. I'm sure you've all witnessed, you've all had to go through that. But there's something that at times, and this doesn't happen always, but at times I am reminded that if I were not a child of God, if I did not have faith, if I did not believe and trust in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for my salvation, then Satan wouldn't be coming after me. He wouldn't be coming to tempt me, because I would be his. He's not going to waste his time spending on his own. Oh, he'll continue to make sure that they stay there. But he's not going to fiercely and intently tempt them to do things that they shouldn't do. And there wouldn't be a struggle, nor would there be a battle to try to keep from doing it. And not that we as a human being can even remotely have enough strength to do that. But it is totally and completely by God's grace and through his Holy Spirit that helps us and gives us the strength to endure and to continue. And even when those trials are over and when the temptations are done, we can bow our heads and thank God that he still loves us. And this is the message that this individual was bringing forth. And he, through the whole series or whatever you want to call it, I'm not sure of the term, but he never stopped giving God the glory the whole time he was talking about what he went through. And it was tough. He went through a tough time. But through the whole thing, and both he and his wife, he had come to know Christ in 1992, I believe it was, and it was the best thing that ever happened to him, and he was not afraid to tell people about it. And that's the other thing that we need to witness, or the other thing that we need to keep in mind, that we do not be afraid. God has promised, Jesus has promised, when the opportunity comes, he will give the words to speak. And it doesn't have to be a long dissertation. It doesn't have to be a great and grand and glorious speech. But all it is just telling whoever we're talking to that I know where my salvation is, and I know where I'm going to spend eternity. And that's the message that God wants the world to hear. That's the message that the world needs to hear and is so desperately in need of it even at this time. I just wanted to share that. For a text today, I'd like to read from the Gospel of John in chapter 13. And we'll begin with verse 1 and reading through verse 17. It's the Gospel of John, chapter 13, and beginning with verse 1. and reading the words in Jesus' name. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth up from the supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter says to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter says to him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus says to him, He that is washed needs not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken their garments and was set down, taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, these are your words. We know they're true because you are true. We know that you are indeed truth. Father, we pray this morning that through your Spirit that you would speak to us and that we would be filled and nourished with these words. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a very familiar portion for all of us. I'm sure we've heard it over the years many times. But isn't that the way Scripture is? We read it, we study it, we look upon it, and then go back and read it and study it and look upon it. And then we go back and we read it, and it just goes on and on and on. We continually do so. But the amazing thing is that for the most part, every time we read it, or every time we study or look into it try to visualize or try to figure out what Scripture is saying, there's something new comes up, something that we may have never heard of or something that we may have never saw before. And isn't that the way God's Word is? There's always something new in there. There's always something that we can read and take, you know, in the course of reading it. Wow, I never saw that before. And it's a strengthening for us. It's a learning process that never stops. I was reading a book one time that had to do with hunting and, you know, hiking and so on and so forth out in the wilderness. And the fellow that had written the book said basically the same thing about that as what I just mentioned about Scripture. That every time you go out there, you see something new. Every time you go out there and the light is in a different angle, there's something new. Well, that's God's Word. Whatever we're going through at any given moment of time, will be a reflection of what we're going to see in God's Word that He'll show us. See one thing this time, and a month down the road we look at the Word again and basically go over the same thing that we'd once studied, and there's something else comes up that we didn't see before. It's the way God works. He keeps giving all the time. He doesn't stop. He's constantly giving. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, I've read that over and over again. And I can't tell you how many times I've looked at it and I'm thinking, he knew what was going to happen to him. He knew how people were going to despise him. He knew how hard things were going to be. And he continued to love his own which were in the world, and he loved them to the end. Totally, completely. Never stopped. Never stopped. The compassion that he has for mankind, the compassion he had for mankind, was beyond anything that we could ever imagine. It was beyond anything that we could ever even attempt to do. And supper being ended, the devil now, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hand, and that he was come from God, he went to God. Our earthly life here is filled with temptation, as we've already talked about. And as I was looking at this and reading it over again and studying it, the thought came into my mind. Do we really think that the things that we fall into or the things that we're tempted by are just because of our flesh? The scripture says that we are tempted by the world, our flesh, and Satan. Satan is right there. He's not going to let our flesh or the world or anything else tempt us alone. Satan is there. Maybe cracking the whip, if you might maybe use that scenario, which is kind of a poor one, but it's the only one I can come up with at the moment. But the thing is that he is constantly forcing and trying to take God's children away from the picture. Trying for all he's worth to try to take us out. The supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot. Did he have that before when he walked with Christ for the 3+ years? Doesn't say. We don't know. We can't even make a call on it. But we do know that the devil did put it into Judas's heart at some point. And probably right at that point. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things to his hands and that he had come from God and went to God, he rises up from the supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. He knew that everything had been given to him. And he knew his journey was about over. He knew that it was going to come to a bitter end, I guess, if you will, having to hang on the cross. It's been said that the act of crucifixion is probably the most horrible, horrific way of killing people. Romans are the ones that came up with that idea. So he rises up from supper. Supper is over. Well, it doesn't say it's over, but from where they were eating. And he laid aside his garments, and he took up a towel, and he wrapped it around himself. And after he had poured the water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. I'm sure we've all heard, and I looked into it again today, the person who was to be the foot washer, if you will, in a house or anywhere, was usually considered the lowest of the low as far as the servants are concerned. The form of travel back in that day was on dusty roads with sandals, and of course the feet got dirty, and they needed somebody to kind of clean them and take care of it. Quite honestly, I'm kind of reminded of that when my grandkids come in. and none of them wear shoes. And that's just kind of a frivolous thing, I understand. But the point is that when you see it, you kind of understand that, hey, this is a needed process. It's a process that needed to be done. And when you were welcomed into a person's house, the first thing that happened is you took your shoes off and somebody washed your feet. It's that simple. But here the Savior of mankind, the Savior of the world, took upon himself to wash the feet of his disciples. But it was for a very distinct reason. Then he comes to Simon Peter, and Peter says to him, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" A question. And Jesus basically answers him, "Of course." And then he goes on to tell him, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." The disciples didn't fully understand what was going on. But the significance of Jesus washing their feet would, down the road, take on a whole new meaning. Even as Jesus taught him and taught his disciples. You see, this was one of the last acts, or one of the last lessons that he was teaching the disciples. Because his time was very close. It was within the matter of a couple of days he was going to be hanging on that cross. He taught and he instructed right up until the end. And he teaches us and instructs us right up until the end. Comforts, keeps, encourages right up until our time is up. And we all know that it will be at some point in time. So he says to him, he says, what I'm doing to you, you don't know right now, but you shall know hereafter. And that's after Christ was crucified. And Peter said to him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Oh, Peter. I guess I'm drawn to him, and I know I've said this before, but I'm drawn to him. Because I do the same. It's just knee-jerk reaction for some reason. It just seems to, that's the way he is. And yet he goes on to become one of the most prolific disciples next to Paul. He goes on to become a true, righteous servant of God. We look at him and, you know, as further down the road where Jesus said, before the cock crows or three times, you're going to deny me. No, Peter said, no, that'll never happen. It did. But oh, the beauty of that is that Peter recognized it and wept. And then Jesus forgave him, the same as he forgives us. Jesus will continually forgive us. He will continually look to us and forgive us for what we've done. He goes on, he says, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. And Jesus said, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. Repentance, forgiveness, and salvation is given complete. You don't have to do any more. You don't have to go through and, well, yeah, I got to go do this, I got to do that, I've got to do this way. No, salvation is done. Add nothing. And then he says, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. And here he's referring to Judas. At that point, the disciples were clean. Jesus said it. Jesus told him, you are clean. Every whit, everything about you is clean. Your sins are forgiven. Why? Because they believed. When our sins have been forgiven, when repentance is made and forgiveness is granted, the road doesn't stop there. It doesn't end and say, well, okay, you know, I repented and I've heard those precious words of our sins being forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. doesn't stop. It's a continual process, praying to God for the forgiveness that we so deserve. Or not that we, but because we have faith, but we're praying for forgiveness, knowing that this sinful flesh is going to continually fall and stumble every day, from the smallest to the largest. We know that God doesn't look at it that way, because sin is sin. But in our mind, we do. And that's why we need to continually be praying to God to forgive us. Don't stop. Don't stop. If there's something that goes on between you and another, you know how to take care of it. You go and talk to them and have it done. But the sinful things and actions that you do during the day, just when you're by yourself, ask God to forgive. Because that's why Christ died. That's why he died. Because he knew that you were not going to be able to do it. That I am not able to do it. I've often thought of a thing that somebody told me years ago. He said, whenever you point your finger at somebody, remember there's three more pointing back at you. Makes sense. Because we are not perfect. We are not whole yet. We will be, but right now we're not. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was sat down again, he said to them, know ye what I have done to you? Do you know what I just did? Do you realize what I just did for you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. Another word for the term master is teacher, because that's what Christ was a teacher. And he taught his disciples. It's a good thing that you said that. It's a good thing that you recognize that, because that's what I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. And here he is, still teaching, still giving an example. Forgive. Have compassion. Look to Christ for your salvation. And remind yourself that you also are not clean. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. He's given us an example. My Lord, my Savior, my teacher was a servant. And that's the way he came to this earth. He didn't come here for any other reason than to serve and to teach. That is so much different than mankind could ever hope to even grasp. That's so much different than for mankind to even hope to understand. Because there's most of us, at least me, I want to be kind of the head of the class. I want to be the guy up there in the front making the decisions. Oh, what a way to stumble and fall. Be a servant. Be the one that is going to wash the feet. Because there's much more joy and there's much more gifting, I guess, that is for you. Because having a humbleness of heart, a humbleness of spirit, God can work in that. God has a hard time working when I'm walking around thinking I'm more than I am. But God can work in the heart of a spirit. Because it's an open door. It's not something that there's something standing in the way. Because we recognize that our salvation lies in Christ, and there is nothing that I can do to warrant it. And that's a heart that God can work in. Verily, verily, I say to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Do you think that Jesus came here thinking of himself being greater than God? Of course not. He didn't think that way. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Again. And he was saying that I am a servant. God sent me, and I am not greater than he is. And I am doing his will. And I'm doing what he would have me do. Because I have to be that perfect sacrifice. And of course, I'm paraphrasing here, but that perfect sacrifice had to be perfect. And if he had stumbled in any way, it would not have been. God's plan was put into effect, and it was now coming to an end. And because of that plan today, we are saved. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. He recognized his place, as we need to recognize ours. And our place is at the feet of the cross, or at the feet of Jesus, really, knowing and recognizing what he has done. And then he says in the last verse, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. How often do we need to be reminded of that? How often do we need to be reminded that if I know that I am a servant, and if I know that I am not greater than the one that sent me, and if I know that I need to wash the feet of my fellow believers and anyone that I run across, I'll be happy. But if I don't know that, I'm just going to be miserable. It's not going to be a good time. Things of this life, things that we run into every day, or conversations that we're involved in, or whatever the case may be, just won't go and be as happy or be as good as we would like them to be. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Not if you just know them. Do them. That's the difference. It's not enough to just know what needs to be done. It's something that we have to continually do. I'm sure you've all heard that the expression that about words and works. You can talk all day long, but if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, that picture's a whole lot different. If you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, saying the things you're supposed to be saying, who you are is questionable. But if you know what you need to do, and if you're happy about it, you will be recognized as God's children. And that's the ultimate end that we want, even this morning, to be known as a child of God. Because that indeed is our eternal reward. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for your blessings. Lord, we ask that you would continue to walk with us. Father, we pray that we would recognize what we're supposed to be doing, and that we would do them and be happy, that we would try to fulfill what it is that you would set before us. So, Father, we thank you for your blessings, and we ask, O God, that as we leave here, we pray, Father, that we would give you the glory and honor that you so richly deserve, and be reminded of that as this week progresses. Regardless of what happens to us, regardless of the situations that we're involved in or what's going on, that we would recognize that you are indeed the Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last. And that is because of your love for us that we have that hope for eternal salvation. Now, Father, we pray that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.